Hey, Margaret.
Yeah, Anton?
You know what people don't talk about enough?
What?
I have a potential hot take. Saying that either Wilhelm or Simon should have thought to close the curtains is a textbook example of blaming the victim. Welcome to People Don't Talk About Young Royals. I'm Anton. My pronouns are he, they.
And I'm Margaret. My pronouns are they, them.
And we're people here to discuss the show our friends are sick of hearing us talk about.
If that sounds like you, stick around. If your friend sent you this podcast out of a desperate attempt to get you to watch Young Royals, take this as a sign.
Go watch Young Royals, then come back to this podcast.
Anton, what are we talking about today?
Today we'll be having a plot discussion of Season 1, Episode 4, focusing on the relationship between Wilhelm and Simon.
Woohoo!
Before the episode's disclaimer, Editing Anton has a cheeky little update for our listeners. The amount of released podcast material as of publishing the previous episode, PDTA Crack, discussing Young Royals Forever, has now surpassed the total runtime of the entire show 3 times over.
Translation? We're insane.
Welcome to the fourth cycle, everybody. Uh-huh. All right.
In this discussion, we won't be summarizing the plot of the episode because we already did that. If you need or want a refresher, head back one episode in our feed to our most recent This Week at Hilarishka for our full breakdown. I don't actually think it's one episode. It might be two because of the crack episode.
Bonus episodes by being bonus episodes, like, don't count. That's why, like, they're numbered differently. So.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, Revolution is always kind of going to come after a bonus episode because we always, like, pair one with This Week at
Hilarishka. True. It was a long day at work. This episode discussion will likely be all over the place, so strap in. You've been warned. I drove home in the silence with sound filters on my ears.
Yeah.
Doing so well. Okay. So sorry. I'm a little slow to the uptake.
It's all good. Thankfully. Okay, listeners, you know right now if this is a part one and part two situation, but we really can't see how it's not going to be.
If this is less than 3 parts, I'm going to genuinely be shocked. Anton wrote 13 pages of notes.
12.
And I wrote one.
And that's why we're getting into this. I will say, having to start a Wilman recap discussing Remember? Fuck you, Lisa. Barely affectionate. Like, it makes me angry and it makes me sad because as much as I don't want to, I think we need to go chronological to appreciate this app.
I think you're right, but that doesn't mean I like it.
But it means we're only going up until we go down.
Until we go down hard.
Yeah. That's what this episode is, baby. All right. I would like to begin with a close reading of You Say All You Want to Be Is Remembered. I'll make you go down in history. So you say all you want to be is remembered. Let me make you go down in history, baby. Let me write you into history, darling. Let me sing you into eternity. Is this about Eric or Villa? The answer? Yes. However, like, this is the old adage.
Break me emotionally every week.
This is the old adage. Memorials/funerals are less about the deceased than they are the living they left behind.
Yeah.
And I
think... The dead's dead. They don't care.
Right. And I think Villa hears the story of a perfect crown prince who everyone is going to remember and whom he will always be in the shadow of. While Simon is actively singing about the way to really make history through these feelings for Villa that Simon might not fully understand or fully like know the full repercussions of, mm-hmm. but that he wants to act on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wants, like, even if I don't think it's intentional, but I think just by the course of action that he has chosen to take by pursuing Wilhelm, he's made the decision to go down in history.
Yeah. But I don't think he...
No, he does not think of it like that.
I can almost promise you he doesn't think of it that way.
No. But, like, I do believe, like... he pays respect to Eric with Rimmer, while also secretly, but I think at least a little consciously, pays due respect to his and Villa's situation.
Yes.
In his performance. In the yes. moment.
In his looking performance, at Wilhelm, yes. I would also like to float the idea that Simon has potentially nothing to do with song selection.
No, yeah, correct. This is why I'm saying the song was picked for Eric. The song right. was picked to be about Eric.
Right.
In his literal performance in the moment, I don't think Simon can say, let me make you go down in history, baby, without, like, while looking at Wilhelm, without meaning that.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I'm with you now. I do agree.
No, I mean, I did not word that in the way that maybe didn't think it sounded like Simon selected Remember, but, like, I meant in his performance. Way he sang this song. But, like, this leads me into the complexity of emotion Simon brings to this entire memorial sequence. Like, it's an I am sad for your loss, worried about whatever this is between us, and upset by at whatever force outside of you I don't understand has turned you into a completely different person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the audience and Simon's real introduction to Crown Prince Wilhelm is this episode. Because it's the first time...
I would argue it's... Yes, it is this episode. It's the moment he says, I want you to delete our texts.
No, correct. Yes.
It's the moment he doesn't turn to face Simon when Simon comes in.
I think it can't be a specific moment because it also could be when he says, I'm going to be the best. I'm going to be a crown prince my family is going to be proud of. Because at that point, he's already decided what he's going to do regarding Simon. Like, he doesn't want to, but he's going to. He already just decided he's going to. This new and improved Villa, now trying to feel 99% fewer feelings. Nothing downloaded in that little head of his but grief for his brother and duty to his family and his country.
Yeah.
He has room for nothing else. Or believes he doesn't.
Yeah.
And I want to posit, we can understand Villa while still hating him a little.
I'll never hate him. He's my boy.
I'm going to be honest. Because of how much I relate to Villa, I hate him a little in this scene.
Really?
Yeah. I can understand him.
We'll get into it in the character episode.
Yeah. Nuance, people. The show has it in spades. Like, Villa's first time in the show going off script, and it's because other people got to openly grieve and he wanted to. Like, this is me attempting to understand instead of getting into why I kind of hate him in the scene. Like, I noticed for the first time in This Week in Hilarishka when summarizing that scene, the reason he goes off script is because he just stares at a bunch of people openly weeping and he's like, I can't fucking do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, it was his brother.
No, correct. But like, and that's
if
why
anybody should be able to mourn that, it should exactly. be him.
And that's why it's tragic. And I think him going off script is him participating in the way he could in that collective grief. And in this moment, he tells us where his head is at. And basically
he's like, I should be dead. It should be me.
In that bit that he goes off script, the first time he's ever gone off script in the entire show, publicly. Semi-publicly, in a speech, versus the other speech we've seen him give,
versus when he got into a fight at a nightclub,
right, and literally memorized a speech to stare in a camera and say. But in this moment where he goes off script, he basically steers the entire story in a new direction.
Yeah.
And it's a lead up to this, and I want to end again. Leading with
this is feeling like a character episode. I think we should rein this back as well.
Right. But this is why, that's why as I'm still talking about this, it is kind of getting away from me, but I did try to structure these notes that I'm only talking about him in relation to his relationship with Simon. Okay. Because all I want to do is say where Wilhelm is at, approaching the moment, I want you to delete our text.
Okay.
Because it's important, I think, in order to actually, like, in a sort of way, Revolution is a character standing episode for women, which right. means at a certain point, maybe not now, but down the line, we're gonna have to hardcore defend this relationship.
Yeah.
Mild spoilers. Like implicit spoilers, but we are. And so I want to get it in the habit of that by talking about the things that are bringing them to this conflict with each other.
Okay.
I want to cast extreme doubt on the idea that Helicia was the place Villa wanted to be right now.
Yeah.
But the fact that his father thought that was his familiar environment, speak volumes.
Right. You know, the school he's been at for
three months, weeks, maybe.
Couple months.
Yeah.
As opposed max. To home. Like,
yeah.
Where he was for raised. 16 years.
Exactly. And the way that Christina is upset by the unfiltered truth of the family dynamic she created will never not be irritating.
Yeah.
And still, she is the one who uploads Villa's new programming that's active for the majority of this episode. It is you and your future children who will succeed me, and you will be compared to Eric in everything that you do and every step you take.
Yeah, and then she has the balls to spit her food up when he's like, you've already been doing that my whole life.
Yeah.
Which, for the record, fuck Christina.
Finally moving away from the memorial scene. After, how long have I spent talking about that? Okay. Less time than I thought and more time than I wanted.
Okay. I think we're missing something, though, that happens even before the memorial scene that I think we need to talk about.
Okay.
So when Simon is watching the funeral on TV,
oh, yeah.
and we can see his texts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wilhelm's I didn't write down what they said, but it was like, thinking of you, how are you, worried about you,
yeah.
here for you, something along those lines. There were several yeah. of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you look at like the way that the different people they show consuming that media,
mm-hmm.
you had the people at Hilarishka who were like, it was, this is a horrible metaphor, but it's what came to mind. It's, you know, when you can't look away from a car crash.
Yeah. Some of them Rip feel Eric. Like they're genuine. Some of them feel like it feels like genuine mourning, but it is the mourning of a public figure.
Yeah, it's the mourning of like a figure that you've some of the students at Hilarishka had come into contact with Eric.
Yeah. Yeah.
But years ago. And
yeah. yeah. And then Simon, he is grieving Wilhelm's brother.
Yes. And then when I watched this episode, I grouped Sarah with the rest of Hilarishka and kind of like not being able to look away from a tragedy, but not really like
yeah
feeling that sadness for herself or like for the person. It's just like yeah. I can't look away.
Right.
And then Linda is like, oh, that poor boy, pitying him like a son type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Simon is the only one, like you said, that's like grieving for Wilhelm, for his brother.
Yeah. I'm just processing. Like, I think that to connect this back to what we've been saying, Wilhelm didn't need to be told what being crown prince means.
Mm-hmm.
He knew it the moment Eric died.
Yeah.
Because in the back of his mind, he's been relieved that he mm-hmm. is not crown prince his entire fucking life.
Yeah.
He's known it would be 10 times worse. More, probably more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Which means he starts distancing himself from Simon the instant Eric dies.
Yeah.
Which is seen in ghosting him.
Yes.
Until he straight up is like, it says the words, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And which is then followed up by, my next bullet point, deleting Simon's contact.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, this is what I, how I'm putting myself in Wilhelm's shoes. I think he's thinking, I can't have the feelings or maybe even have this person in my life as long as I'm tempted to devote myself to them more than to my duty.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I fully agree. And I think deleting the contact is, like, in a way, this isn't really how I want to word it, but it's the only thing I can come up with right now, mm-hmm. is, like, getting rid of the temptation, in quotes,
yeah,
of, like, reaching mm-hmm. out. Because you could say something in school, but that's much different than a text.
Yeah. And so many people believe he didn't actually delete the contact, including me, before summarizing the scene in This Week Kalishka. Like, it's wildly debated, like, because I watched so many reaction videos and they're all watching it for the first time, it's so quick, it's hard to tell. And so it's like 50-50, honestly, what reactors realize he removed it and what are like, oh, did he? I couldn't tell. Like, I don't know. And so, like, I thought it was up for debate. It's not. Like, he did do it. And we need to sit in the implications of that. Like, and it was very, and the fact that moment is deliberately placed immediately after he sets the Frog Prince snow globe in a place of prominence on the windowsill and in the midst of a panic attack. Like, that's set dressing for this very emotional and crucial moment in the story, I think. And you'll notice I keep touching on various other discussions we're going to have later. But, like, Revolution is always the way Margaret and I process, like, these entire, like, what we're going to talk about for the entire cycle. So you kind of see that in action here, I think.
Yeah. Revolution is just how we process, period, end of sentence.
Exactly. This Week of Alerjka needs to be only summary, because if we combined what This Week of Alerjka and Revolution are, this podcast would never end.
No, this podcast, instead of 3 months per cycle, it would be a year.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe two.
And I think okay. And this is why, very naively, I thought this episode was not going to be as long as what I thought we kept talking off pod that it was going to be. Because I was like, wait, we don't even see Villa and Simon ignoring each other. It interacting with each other. It's like, it's just like the last time Wilhelm rejected him, but for more of the episode. Like, for like more than half of the episode, they don't interact again. Even on screen. Like, their plot lines are totally different directions.
Yeah, except for when Wilhelm is watching stuff on Felice's phone right behind him.
Yes, that's what I said. The closest we get is when Simon is eating in one of the sort of random scene of Villa and Felice being friends. But I can acknowledge it sounds sus what Villa is saying, and I don't think Villa means what he says about Felice in the way I think August and Simon hear it, but it's rough.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think that that's a thought that is crossing either his or Felice's mind.
Yeah,
because they've already established that that's not happening.
Yeah,
but nobody else knows that they've already established
Felice is a homie at this point. Felice is like, oh, cool, we set a boundary, and I can finally move on, and I have, with your cousin. So, like...
I was just reminded of this really traumatizing memory I have of you describing that scene in detail into my ear.
I had to listen to editing me in that scene, and I'm like, I just did that to Margaret.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see the green thing that goes across your screen?
Oh,
when you talk,
the waveforms, the cursor.
Yeah, but it's like the green one that's like, "Hey, it's okay," and then it goes red if it's not okay, what you're doing.
Levels, yeah.
Yeah, it was red.
Noise level, yeah. Volume levels,
screaming.
Yeah. All right, and I would say, but staying on this scene, as a queer sort of man, I feel pretty comfortable calling my AFAB friends' outfits and behavior cute. When it's like,
would you call me my outfits and behavior cute?
I would, yeah. Like,
thank
in the right,
you. I really didn't right, think you were going to say yes.
Like, in the right context and, like, when I know it'll be received in the right way.
Yeah.
Like your besties.
Yeah.
With no one but Wilhelm having the full context of his queerness, he can sound flirty in this scene.
Yeah.
And even Simon, I think, here's a concerted effort to possibly fit into heteronormativity. Mm-hmm. With somebody else's girlfriend, even if that somebody else is fucking August.
Yeah, even if that somebody else is your cousin.
Yeah. It's really rough out here, is really what I'm saying.
No, but the thing is I and this might be the Wilhelm apologist in me. It might be, and I'll own up to that. But I don't even think that him saying that right behind Simon was purposeful.
I have never thought it was purposeful.
Like I don't even think he probably realized it was happening.
No, he is coping. And Felice is a safe way of coping.
Yeah.
If he's not going to talk to Simon possibly ever again.
He needs to talk to somebody.
He needs the friends he can get. And the person he finds after he runs out after this panic attack of deleting Simon's contact, he finds Felice. And she becomes the outlet for getting out anything approaching the amount of feelings he's feeling.
Yeah.
Or like finding some level of catharsis or safe space.
Which, can I just say, we'll get into it in Love Among Royals. One of the cutest friendships that's ever been on TV.
No, seriously. And so unexpected.
It's so near and dear to my heart.
What fucking friendship is going to begin with, like, you fully thinking that she's going to be on one side of a love triangle, and then she takes herself out of it and is like, no, I'm just your best fucking friend. And I will be your fucking friend for the rest of the show.
That's a ride or die right there.
Yeah. All right. I did it in this week of Literature, and I got to do it again. Trigger warning, casual drug use.
I thought you were going to talk about the sex again.
No. That's later. Absolutely fuck Lisa affectionately for putting the Mika and Simon confrontation right before the entire society sequence.
Yeah.
I can't remember if we've talked about it off pod or I think we have to have, because we haven't discussed this episode yet on mic. It literally tees you up perfectly for all of the baggage Simon brings with him to that soccer field.
Oh, yeah.
And the more I watch it, the more it's perfect in the structure of the episode. Like,
yeah.
Because it's so perfect that unless you are someone who, for whom this, seeing story structure as you're actually watching something for the first time, comes more naturally to you, you might not even realize why you're being so affected.
Mm-hmm.
Because they never say anything. It's in one of the many, many moments of young girls not treating you like you're stupid and just telling you a well-crafted story and trusting that you're going to figure it out if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that Simon, a person he loves, has used drugs to cope with the darkness inside him, and in the past, Simon knows that he wasn't enough to save him. He tells Mika, you couldn't even stop using for my or Sarah's sake. And you see the pain of that he's been carrying around with him. And in Simon, we see the anger and frustration that comes from being scared shitless on that soccer field.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Villa sees a guy he thought he pushed away so hard that he thought they'd never speak again.
Yeah.
And that guy has now come for him in the middle of the night at the darkest moment of his life thus far.
Mm-hmm.
Villa has no context for Simon's perception of him, which creates this immediately tragicomic tension. Like, tragedy and comedy at once. Like, this tension that any audience member who's given this half second of thought is gonna feel. Like, there are miraculously parts of the soccer field scene that are simultaneously so hilarious that I want to burst out laughing, and that laughing will immediately give way to tears.
Yeah, let's list a few. What makes you burst out laughing?
Just everything Wilhelm says, and everything Wilhelm does. And then everything, every way that Simon is reacting makes you want to cry. Like, like that's, it's fairly clear cut. Like Simon is in a tragedy and Wilhelm is acting like he's in a comedy. And it's,
Wilhelm is high out of his mind, so he can be wherever the fuck he wants to be.
Wilhelm is in a stoner comedy and Simon is in Young Royals. Like, Simon is in reality.
Wilhelm's on cloud fucking nine.
Like, it is tragedy and comedy both at once, equally and always. And this is where I got real philosophical. I'm just going to read what I wrote. Like, I've been doing that already, but I'm going to do that explicitly. Life is absurd. The situation is absurd. But I think this is also one of the most deeply human scenes in any media ever.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's this scene is led into by a totally improvised monologue that was never written by Lisa, but a collaboration between Edvin and Rajda, absolutely fuck right off.
It, like, it's still hard for me to believe that. Like, do I know it? Yes. Watching it, can my brain connect those two facts? No.
We are totally going to be talking about none of the people are real until the end of this series.
Yeah.
But I like you, and that is very real. Welcome to the premise of the first season, and more or less of the entire show. And it was fucking improvised.
It was fucking improvised. And we'll talk about this in Art of the Choice. We'll talk about it in every Art of the Choice until we're done with this series. Edvin's an artist. He's not an actor. He's an artist.
Yeah. Welcome to one of two sections that I almost forgot to take notes on. And weirdly enough, it is the titular reason for this episode type being called for what it is. Partly because I think any fan of Young Royals knows why we call these woman episodes Revolution.
Yeah. Unless you've been watching it episode by episode, in which case, I don't know how you have the patience for that.
It shouldn't need to be stated. Sorry, that's actually not what this note meant. I wrote, it shouldn't be. But the feelings these boys have for each other is revolutionary. In the world and on screen, especially.
Yes.
I meant by in the world, I mean in the world of their story. Like, it is revolutionary in the world of their story, and especially it is revolutionary to see on screen.
I would even argue it's revolutionary in the world, period.
Yes. I wanted to make that distinction, though, because I think it's important to recognize that, like, it's representation versus this having potentially happened in real life.
Right.
Like, any part of it. And with these specific boys, with their class divide and the fact that one of them is literal modern royalty, it's even more revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about the non-diegetic music on this show very much.
No.
And as a reminder for anyone who hasn't been privy to my many explanations of what non-diegetic means, it means it's music that was chosen for the soundtrack of the show but is not literally being heard by the characters. Or doesn't... Diegetic literally means exists within the world of the story. Regardless, this song, Revolution by Elias, sounds like it was written for Willman, and I almost won't be convinced otherwise.
When did that song come out?
I don't.
Can I be delusional? Yeah. I don't want the music video. I want the release date. Here we go, 2018, can't be
so
delusional.
2 years before they were even cast.
Yeah.
But this song, it is the story of them and the dilemma of these serious issues. Queerness and the ultimate class privilege, and can they coexist without breaking the system, or more importantly, without breaking the people involved.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're getting into lyric analysis. Running with a crown on your head, a resolution written in your hands. I mean, come on. Villa is constantly changing as a person, but he's also constantly weighted down by the burden of his new crown. He is running away while staying right where he's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the lies, they will hurt you no more. Villa doesn't want to be with the metal people. Those people who are just not real. They just are not real. And it's slowly killing him. And with mm-hmm. Eric gone, Villa sees Simon as the only honest person left in his life.
Yeah.
Human kindness deserts you no more. This is an episode and a show about learning or regaining a sense of human kindness in the face of enormous pressure from every direction to be cruel to one another.
Mm-hmm.
The city's on fire, but it's beautiful. The city's on fire, won't you burn it all? Revolution, how beautiful it is. Have you ever heard a more devastating bridge to a song in your entire life?
No.
In the end, it sometimes cannot matter to you the destruction you leave in your wake in the name of your own peace and happiness. And that is the problem of the people who won't let you live your fucking life the way you want to live it. This is possibly the hardest lesson the show has to teach me and my people-pleasing ass. And I'm still forever in the process of internalizing it. To get real for a second.
Yeah, I think this is a song that like genuinely changed my life a little bit.
Yeah.
And like this song in the context of the show is obviously, you know, it's Willman's mm-hmm. story, essentially, even though it was written 2 years before they were cast. But like, I don't know. It describes their romantic relationship to such a T. But then as somebody who has never considered mm-hmm. or felt those mm-hmm. kinds of feelings, it still, like, hits in very personal levels.
Yeah,
of,
totally.
Like, ouch.
Ouch, ouch, ouch.
Ouch.
Let's start a revolution.
Yeah.
It's how we end every podcast, how we're going to end this specific episode of the podcast, and it's because this song transforms the entire show, the entire story of Young Royals, all three seasons, into a call to action.
Mm-hmm.
More than mere analysis of a media property that is now done with a fandom that might start to dwindle, something I hope that our podcast can do. I'm reading from a script, but I know what I mean every single word of this. Something I hope that our podcast can do, even in some small way, is to not only carry out that call to action by caring about the story as deeply as we do and taking it as seriously as we do, but to give that call to action ourselves to anyone listening to this podcast. Although it doesn't really feel like it in this episode, this is a show about hope. And if you are just following along with this podcast and you haven't finished the entire show, just go watch it. We've finished it now. You'll see what we mean. This is the closest mm-hmm. I ever want to get to spoilers in a mainline episode. But trust us, the full journey is so worth it.
It wasn't even me that spoiled that time.
We have kept...
Everybody mark that down. That's Anton 1, Margaret... 647, roughly, if I had to round down.
I want to say, I already have unilaterally decided what I'm naming this podcast episode.
I know, I saw that and I almost teared up at work.
Episode 40, Revolution, how beautiful it is.
Yeah, I almost teared up at work at my desk.
We have kept ourselves from directly saying this for whatever reason, either out of self-consciousness or uncertainty about how long we would be doing this, whatever. But please share our podcast with anyone you think needs to listen to it. I sincerely want anyone who loves Young Royals who doesn't know that they're going to love Young Royals to listen to at least one episode of this podcast all the way to the end. I'd say this would be a good one to send them. I want people to reach the end of an episode and and reach the end of an episode with us and hear us tell them, let's start a revolution, baby. But more than that, I hope a lot of people who listen stick around so they can say it along with us. Every episode.
Damn.
Young Royals, the show, is over, but the impression it left on every person who watched it and the impression it will leave on any person who watches it in the future is forever. And although we didn't know it at the inception of this podcast, I want this to be our new stated reason for doing this. If anyone asks either Margaret or me why would we do it, we would do a podcast about a show that's fairly niche for our country, a show written and acted in a language spoken by less than 1% of the world's population. Nothing should be more inaccessible or impossible to market to anyone, but almost everyone in my life has been surprised by the audience we already have. And that's because they haven't seen the show. In any event, all this goes to say, before I know we have to move on, that I hope you keep listening. And that you can help us continue the revolution of the show long into the future.
You're gonna make me cry.
It wouldn't be the first time.
No, you made me cry last week too.
For different reasons. But actually about the same reason.
I think it was the same reason, actually.
When I first thought I'd finished writing through my notes for this episode, or these episodes, who the fuck knows, we're already quite well into the first part, likely, of this. Probably. I mean, we'll see. After a few moments of contemplation, I realized that I got way too bogged down in the August aspect of the ending. Mm-hmm. We'll get to August in his fucking video soon. Don't you worry. But I think something we as a fandom generally do not talk about is what you said in the Secret Hilarishka, Margaret. I want to sit with everything this scene is and how revolutionary and raw it is, while also seeming like the most natural flow of movement and dialogue, like, ever.
Yeah.
Margaret said in the Speak to Hilarishka, if you can't remember it last week, which, it's fine. We all have memory issues.
I can't.
You said,
I'm scared.
Why can't we just cut out the August part of this ending?
Oh, yeah. No, I stand by that.
And that's what we're going to do for a second. I want to say everything the scene is, which is Simon brought back Wilhelm to his room in Forest Ridge and stays with him the whole rest of the night. Simon wakes up and sees a "Where are you?" text from Sarah, and immediately his impulse is to leave. And then Villa... I'm breathing too fast. And then Villa wakes up
Don't pass out, please.
He asks Simon not to go. And he says that he wants Simon to hold him. And Simon instantly settles into just being there in the moment with him and being whatever he needs. They are not even together, and Simon is being his partner.
Mm-hmm.
It's moments like this. I don't have this written down, but it's moments like this that, like, don't make me think about how long they've known each other.
Yeah, it's moments like this where I can, in good conscience, record a revolution episode when they're together for 3 minutes of screen time.
Yeah.
And most exactly. of it is heartbreaking.
It's moments like this that are just like, it's love stories like this that are the ones that make me still kind of in my heart of hearts believe that soulmates exist. They might not be what we think they are.
Interesting.
But I would subscribe to spoilers for mild spoilers for The Good Place. There, that show takes the philosophy of soulmates aren't born, they're made.
Mm-hmm.
You're not destined to be with that person, but circumstance leads you to be the perfect person for each other in that moment.
I guess I can buy into that.
And I don't believe it all the time. Don't. Like, I've mentioned on this podcast before that I'm a hopeless romantic. Don't take this away from me. I'm talking to the listener, not you, Margaret. I know you went. I know you'd never.
Margaret's just nodding with their eyes closed.
You're talking to my ace arrow. Co-host.
Yeah, I remember the other day when you sent me that Instagram post of behind every asexual there is a bisexual who stole their sexuality.
I am that bisexual.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Simon agrees to stay with Villa until he falls asleep again, following Villa's lead as they transition to spooning. Which is the word that Margaret didn't say because they're being way too clinical. It's spooning. I'm calling it what it is.
It is spooning.
I never noticed until this watch through for this episode of the podcast the anxiety / panic that is also already entering Villa's mind as he's spooning Simon, recognizing the intimacy of this position that he has arranged unthinkingly. Like, Simon is just following Villa's lead, and Villa just did that.
Yeah.
And then Simon asks him if he remembers what he said to him last night, which we didn't really talk about when we talked about the soccer field team. But he's like, he says, I liked you, and that's very real. And that's really what Simon's talking about. But he also says, you're so beautiful. And yeah. And then as Wilhelm realizes that he does remember what he said, he pulls out of this spooning position immediately, reaches for his shirt in a daze, and tries to find a way to get to for this all to look and feel like anything but the gayest shit ever. Complimentary. I'll repeat that. He's trying to find a way for all of this to look and feel like anything but the gayest shit ever. Complimentary.
Yeah.
But Simon is there, and he tells him it's okay. And they can smile at each other and laugh. And Villa, though he groans with embarrassment, feels secure enough in this moment, where it's just the two of them, to confirm that he likes Simon. And Simon feels secure enough to say it back. And then what follows is nothing other than the result of gorgeous electric chemistry fueled by intimacy and trust.
Yeah.
And that intimacy leads us into the point that I got distracted by. Not even...
We don't have to talk about it.
We fucking have to, and you know it.
No, we don't.
Yes.
No, we don't.
We do. I'm sorry.
No, we don't. We designed the podcast. We can talk about whatever we want.
Painstaking dissections.
Yeah, that doesn't mean causing me pain.
That might not be true, I will say, for any other show but this, but in our discussions of this show, it's painstaking for both of us and for our listeners. I am sorry.
Can I just say what I wrote word for word first then? So I can get my feelings out there
until
into the world.
Go off.
While I respond to TV gal pics on Threads.
Love you.
I love you too. I've said it before and I'll say it again. That's kitty porn of your little cousin who you promised his dead brother you'd protect. There's no universe where this ends, even mediocre for anyone.
Yes. Which leads me into what the heading of this is: intimacy and violation in the context of Wilman's first sexual scene. We have to talk about the way the appearance of August on screen upends the narrative entirely. What is happening between Villa and Simon is achingly beautiful and erotic in a way that only ever feels honest and real. It is an earnest exploration of attraction between two people who are thinking of nothing but each other in this moment. Nothing exists for them or for us outside of this bed and this room, until we, the audience, get to see who is outside. No moment in the entire show perhaps causes a consistent reaction in every reactor I've ever watched than the realization that August is outside, and, as I call it in the summary, that these scenes are happening at the same time. It is the same, it is identical looks that I have seen of horror mixed with disgust and anger and the hard-to-accept captivation with what you are seeing. It is masterful writing, but it will never not be uncomfortable. We shouldn't ever be comfortable watching it or even discussing it.
And I'm not.
Violations like this one are crimes for a reason and should never not be called out as such.
Correct.
I sort of joke with Margaret on this pod about how many times they use the term kiddie porn.
I do, but
that
it's
is
not
more,
a joke.
That is my more than mild discomfort having to sit in the fact that August films child pornography at the end of this episode. Mm-hmm. He doesn't see what he does as that. But under the strictest eyes of the law, that's what it is. And
yep.
And law and ethics, mind you. Because those are two different things.
Yeah. Even in not a strict eye of the law, it's still child pornography.
And August laughs, thinking this that this sort of violation of a family member and a so-called friend's privacy is funny. But he's not laughing when he realizes the reality of who Villa is with. He had no idea the evidence he was capturing, but he is now the first person to officially know about Willman, despite being the literal last person the audience wants to know about them.
Yep.
It makes you sick, and it warps what is supposed to be a beautiful scene by making it ugly and salacious when viewed from a different angle, when seen from the other side of that goddamn window.
Yeah.
Catch me in purple and orange crafting verbal essays on the significance of that window and its stupid fucking open curtains.
With that, should we get into your cold open?
It boils down to August being an outsider whom Willman unwittingly allow to view and judge their intimate moment. But no person or queer couple consents to being ogled at simply by existing, especially in a private space. August represents so much in this episode, in this story, in this show, but in this scene, for me, he represents the sexual surveillance of heterosexism, otherwise known as institutionalized homophobia. The idea that any other person's sex life is any of your fucking business.
Correct.
There are also capitalist implications with seeing Villa as a commodity of social capital rather than as a person, giving August tacit permission in his mind to not treat him like one. Although at the height of August's narcissism and arrogance, I don't think he sees anyone as a real person other than himself.
I'd agree.
As much as it is a meme, I can never be actually mad at Willman for not closing the curtains.
No. They shouldn't have had to think about that. That shouldn't have been on them. It should be common human decency to not.
They should not have had to think about that for their first true moments of intimacy and alone time being with each other the way they both have desperately wanted to be. Like, hindsight is always much clearer, but anyone who might even a little seriously consider the idea that they could have planned for what happened to them is respectfully acting ridiculous.
I'd go so far as to say disrespectfully. Yeah. I'll be disrespectful to someone who blames a victim, even if that victim is a fictional character.
I know it's for the most part a meme and a joke among the fandom, but I think it's also sad how quickly people jump to the impulse of putting the onus of behaving correctly on Willa and Simon when they did nothing wrong. People honestly don't talk enough about how August is unconditionally totally at fault for the crime that is committed at the end of this episode. You accidentally catch a glimpse of your second cousin nearly naked and making out with someone, you fucking walk away from the window immediately and either get Alexander to let you in or find another entrance.
Maybe bleach your eyes while you're at it.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is the decent and right thing to do, and any audience member of Young Royals can see that. We both could talk about the significance of this scene and this video for possibly literally forever, but we have an entire cycle and the entire rest of the series to keep making our points about it. Let's just say, don't think I'm not going to bring back the on the table scene in this cycle's privilege punishment. This school sexual politics are fucked up to hell and back.
Yeah.
But in any event, this episodes, possibly, needs to end at some point.
Wait a minute. I know that we're going to talk about this in privilege punishment. I said it right that time.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of myself. However, if it had been a girl in Wilhelm's bed, August would have made him get up on the table.
Oh, yeah. That's fair. That's important. That's important to recognize. I think that's important to bring up again in Love Among Royals.
Yeah, and we'll probably bring it up again in Privilege Punishment August and August character episode.
Possibly Wilhelm's character episode. Maybe not. Because Wilhelm doesn't know August is there. But I will say, I did say this episode or episodes. This is going to be one episode, Margaret.
This is going to be one episode, baby.
Turns out you can only stretch like 3 minutes of screen time so far.
We were on good behavior.
Yes. So I just want to tell you something I was planning on doing, but now you had a good fucking point, and so now I can't do it. I wrote podcasting Anton. This is the perfect moment to just transition to the outro without stopping, and you know it. So I'm going to pretend I'm doing that. So okay. I'm going to repeat this last point. But in any event, this episode needs to... but in any event, this episode needs to end at some point. Thank you for listening. If you need to keep up to date with when we release new episodes and other pod-related announcements, you could check out our Instagram or our threads at People Don't Talk About. Our next episode...
And Margaret has not kept up with their promise of posting more, but I did just reply to 2 replies.
You never know. You never know, though.
This week is a new week. I'll be better.
Our next episode will be the Art of the Frame for Season 1, Episode 4. So stay tuned. And with that, all I have to say is,
let's start a revolution, baby.